Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. You can reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. Michelle Braffett is the technical operator producer, and I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 this afternoon. It's Tuesday, so we have our usual breaks for regional roundup. We track the latest at noon. Network news from Flow should come thereafter. We have our news break at 12:30, and your calls hopefully will take us through to 2 this afternoon. Planned chaos and progress. There was once a Prime Minister of Barbados, now deceased, who said, perhaps tongue in cheek, that he only did things in the night that brought him intense pleasure. Well, intense pleasure may have changed since the gentleman departed, because now we have ministers who collect garbage trucks and apparently paint the roads or supervise the painting of the roads in the middle of the night. Perhaps that brings them intense pleasure. I don't know. The chaos in Warrens, though, absolutely unnecessary, and it has only further added to my belief that Warrens needs to have a comprehensive, complete traffic makeover. We extended and expended far too much time, effort, energy, and scarce resources, and by that I mean dollars without sense. The multiple roundabouts, the twisting and turning, the right turns against the flow of traffic, the number of fender benders, accidents, and near accidents that have taken place in that stretch between the Warrens Polyclinic and the service station at Warrens and just past are too numerous. And now we've made it worse. There are several questions to be answered here, and far too many of the incidents we see on our roads, some of them are due to just plain old-fashioned ignorance. And by ignorance, I mean people doing foolishness, drivers. But it seems that in Barbados, we drive more by memory than by anything else. That's one thing. And two, even when we know it's wrong, we do it. The number of times I've seen vehicles turning right when there are no right turns, right outside, just past the station, heading in the direction of Queen's Park, is a classic example. Along the roadway spanning the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, there were 5 pedestrian crossings. And I can tell you, people still have difficulty crossing the road and still cross the road in places where there are no pedestrian crossings. So what are we going to do? People turn right into Purity Bakeries on a daily basis. And now they come down and turn right into the school across double lines. Can't say on a daily basis, but I've seen it. I've seen a vehicle come out of the Sagicor block and go straight across the road and turn down Kalamurok. Public service vehicles come up on the extreme right of Kalamurok, get to the traffic light, wait on it to change, and then go left to block the others behind them. Those things happen on our roads, and that's before we add to the chaos. So let's look at Warrens. In the very still of night, paintings are done in the road, road signs are changed. According to today's newspaper on the front page, quoting the minister, in inverted commas, "The situation that occurred here was never discussed with me. It was not discussed with the permanent secretary, and we've taken the decision, and that is why from the team from the MTW is here making the changes." I have in my hand a document from the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources, Pine East-West Boulevard, Pine St. Michael, Public Sector Reform, 2020-08-28. It states, Program Manager CBC, Starcom Network, Mix FM, BBS FM, Slam FM, Sita Radio, Capital Media HD, NBG Radio. Please trail the following for the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources, effective Monday, August 31st to Friday, September 4th at 3 a.m. at least 4 times a day. Yours faithfully, Joyanne Kelly, for Permanent Secretary. It reads as follows. The public is asked to note that road markings will be painted in the Green Hill Warrens area during the week of August 31st to September 3rd. This is a venture by the Ministry of Transport Works and Water Resources to provide better guidance for traffic flow and pedestrian safety. Motorists are asked to observe the signage and the changes in the road markings in the area. On Sunday, on page 5A of the Sunday Sun, the headline reads, Confusion over Vehicle Sticker. I won't read any more of that. Was government by confusion and reversal? And why are we going there? This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
I'd like to discuss two issues this morning.
Okay.
All right. Now, the government has decided to establish two embassies in Ghana and Nigeria.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying before they establish these two embassies, they should concentrate on making Barbados the hub for air links between the Caribbean and Africa. What's your take on that?
Well, I suppose you could argue which comes first, the chicken or the egg. If you establish a presence in those countries and from the outreach in those countries and neighboring countries, you can generate the necessary interest in commercial and vacation and other demands for travel to the Caribbean, then you're in a better position to say it will be fruitful to establish those links. If you establish the links and then on investigation find out there isn't enough business to sustain it, then as happened with British Caledonia and other ventures we've had with airlift, they may go by the wayside, or we may end up having to pay people to operate an airline, which we don't have the resources to do right now. So I suppose it's a chicken and egg situation. If the embassy or the establishment of links there show that there's a market, then establish the links with the airline. It would work.
In establishing the embassy, I was saying the air link because, you know,
I understand why you want the air link.
Slavery, yeah. Barbados was used as the hub for the disbursement of the slaves. Okay, the ships stopped in Barbados when they came from Africa.
Well, the farthest east, yeah.
Right. So he's saying since it's easier when they had shipping, I suppose it would be far easier now. They're using planes. And we should get the jump before other people try to seize the idea.
Yeah. I see your point. As I said, I guess it's a chicken and egg situation. If they go in, and I think somewhere reading the story, I saw that the idea was to have air links established eventually. So hopefully they'll do it faster than slower. Sometimes it takes time. You got to convince people to come and make it worth their while.
No, I'm also suggesting, okay, that these two embassies, they have a trade attached to these two embassies to try and further our exports to Africa.
I am sure you'll find plenty of support in that. There is a regular caller to this program who says that's what the embassy should do, point blank. Everybody there should be salespeople. They should be selling things They should not be sitting down having meetings and discussions and holding, you know, cocktail parties and seminars. They should actually be selling things. So, yeah, you'll find support with that. As with everything else, it's not only establishing its sustainability, sir, far too often, and it's one of our major hurdles in Barbados. Far too often, when ideas like the one you've presented come up, people tell you how many times we've attempted and how many times we've failed to sustain the links. I've heard stories about pepper sauce that we couldn't supply how much they wanted. A couple of weeks ago, I heard guava cheese. I'm sure it will come down to something else when next we talk about this. But it always comes down to sustainability. There are people who want some of the things that are uniquely Bajan. The question is in what quantities and the quality, and can we sustain it? Far too often, if you, sir, drink or consume Bajan-made products, I'm using drinks in particular, sometimes you find they're inconsistent for whatever reason. Let's take Bajan cherry juice that was made by Pine Hill Dairy. It started off being Bajan cherry, and then it went down to importing pulp from Brazil or somewhere because they couldn't have sustained quality over a period of time to sustain Bajan cherry made with Bajan cherries. And it's things like that that cost us the market when we establish it, when we can't sustain the quality and the quantities that people want. And that's one of the problems we face, sadly. But it's a good idea, and I think that's what they should do, make money.
All right, finally, I would like to suggest that Trevor Prescott
be made an ambassador?
Ambassadors?
Yeah. I would agree with you on that. They're the two most vocal about matters African. There may be others with more selling capability. I don't know. We will see. We will see.
All right.
Okay, and who are you going to put as CARICOM ambassador? I pull your leg on that one. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay, so Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello. Good morning to you, DJ.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Hey, cool, man. You okay?
I okay. a little gravelly in the voice still, but I all right.
Okay. Well, it was the week. almost a week before I paid my condolence, and I was just waiting till you come on.
Okay.
To the late Colin Ozavari.
Yep.
And I would like at this time to give my condolence to his family from me and my family, right? Thought we would like what Colin Ozavari. He understand the art form of Kaiso.
Yep.
And he never gone on any stage unless he's prepared. That people call him miserable, people call him funny, but I call him meticulous, right? Always have got everything in place. That is what I remember about Colin Ozavari. So may he rest in peace. I don't think that we ever did manage to get him on the favorites program.
He talked off the record a lot. I think one of the things about the late Observer was that despite his fiery nature on stage, as with so many people in the entertainment business, he was a little, he didn't want to face the public critique and criticism of his work, I thought. That was the impression I got from talking to him. He would talk about his work, he would talk about what he did,
I think you summed the correct way, though. Anyhow.
No, let me say to you, I'll tell you what's unfortunate. Here's a gentleman of talent, not only as an artist, but, you know, he had other talents as well.
Yeah.
What it has brought to the fore for me, the number of males who live alone and who die alone.
Dennis, you're going there?
No, I have to. I have to. I tell you why I have to, right? It's unfortunate because there are people who come to the fore and talk about their caring and their love for and their attachment to.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep reflecting on the fact that more and more I know stories that say they died alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's their choice to live alone, but to me it's a sad end to some of our well-known people. That's my comment on that, so I had to go there.
Right, okay. All right, let me left that there.
Yep.
Look, I had to go to in the Green Hill area this morning. Actually, I just come back from the Green Hill area.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not understand how I traveled through, how I traveled through the roundabout and continue down the Green Hill Way.
Smoothly?
Without any problems at all. A friend of mine convinced me, or tried to convince me, that it could not be the changes that they make there, the return into the to get you through to Chicken Barn and places, you know, that it could not be that. I said, well, it didn't snow last week, it didn't snow a week before, it didn't snow all the time. You meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're getting this sort of billet. And they only build it after this thing. So I really wasn't that convinced, right? That didn't contribute into the problem. But I find this morning now, right? At minutes to 9, I drive through easy. And then when I get there, what surprised me? Markings gone back. And you can make the right turn into the thing. So I want to compliment, though. I want to compliment the ministry for revisiting the whole maneuver, and I think it's a common sense thing to do.
It took me 45 minutes to go from Hothersill roundabout to the roundabout at Warren's last week, Thursday or Friday, whatever day it was last week. Friday, yeah, thank you.
Right.
45 minutes, yeah, it was Friday because I was off on Friday and I was going to Simpson Motors to do a little business.
And, the Mercedes, after all, the convinced the way Mercedes now?
Well, listen, I drive it. I have people stare at me driving it. I tell you I enjoy driving it. I don't know why you just talk on my business. Why you just come on the radio and do this to me all the time?
As soon as
you know something, you just come and put it in the public. Though. I went to Simpson Motors to count the number of transport board buses up there so that when you call, I could tell you how many they got.
You take up Mr. P. job.
What I can't tell you is what they're doing there. Okay.
Okay. Anyhow.
But yes, anyhow. I went to get my Mercedes. No, you know.
So I really want to commend the ministry for revisiting that maneuver, right? And I think that.
So when we can fix the rest.
But no, hold on, man. You like this fast thing.
You see, but it's a Mercedes. It's fast.
Now, I am saying to you, though, that I would like the new minister, mm-hmm. right, who I know a little bit, and his heart should be in a good place.
Right.
I would like you to visit that maneuver when you go around, when you come up by MQA, you know, and then you make that loop around the gas station, the white gas station, to go back down BET on the footing of the BET Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Russian roulette, too.
What are you going to do with it?
I am saying, this is what I'm saying. Well, you know me around the boat. I love roundabouts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think a roundabout could place, but if you make an argument that a roundabout can, why not let the traffic that come from around the building there by the gas station and courtesy swing up the hill, go up by SJPPI, and come back down?
And turn? Because people need to do it.
Instead of trying to cross the road, if you want to go in the Sergeant Street direction, right, for the coming down at a heavy pace and a quick pace off of BET Hill,
mm-hmm.
I think that is dangerous, right? It is dangerous. Many times people have to change the direction and go back round and make it back round again.
Correct.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Before they could get across the road, because you got to crisscross now two lanes, and traffic come on off of BET Hill real, real, real quick.
So and they're not supposed to, but yeah.
I would like the minister to look at that and do something with our configuration or something to let the traffic that coming from that direction swing up the hill, go around the loop there by the SJPP, and come back down.
There's a gentleman who calls this program from time to time who's done a wonderful look at that entire Wildy Way, complete with drawings and things.
Not Erskine at all.
Another gentleman.
No, I got a lot of time for Erskine.
I do. No, but this other guy, he calls the program not regularly, but usually when he calls about traffic management, and he usually sits and looks at it. He sent me a drawing of his solution for that Wildy Way that I keep asking why he don't give the ministry. Tell me he does, but they don't pay attention to him. But it's a workable idea, and what you've suggested is not far off from what he has suggested. But yeah.
I think so.
Yep. But you fellas on the road all the time, so you should know them things.
Yeah, man. All right. Thanks a lot.
Be good, buddy. Have a good one. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello and a blessed morning.
To you, ma'am.
Blessed morning to all. I will say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to his men. God is still in the miracle working business. Hallelujah. You hear about the UN news on California and the states surrounding California?
Yes, ma'am.
My dear, you know the wildfires can't get them out. Natural heating over, I think it reached over 120 degrees, some places 130. What we would call horrible weather up in there. But guess what? You know they're going to get snow today. September 8th. No. That could only be the hand of God. And the weathermen are, you know, they would be able to call kerfuffle. No. It's coming right down through the middle of that fire, and it's going to split it in two. And therefore, only the hand of God could have done that. It reminds me of when the Israelites get to the sea, and Moses stretch out his rod and split that sea in two so they could walk over. And yet people would tell you, there's no God. But because people do not believe there's no God, doesn't mean that there's no God, right? And then we go on to climate change, which ties in with this. Some persons refuse to believe that there's climate change. But the word of God says, look up. Now, when you see the clouds, you know the rain is coming. So therefore, let us go after this wonderful earth that God has given us and take care of our environment. For what we will say, oh, California is so far from us. But we are all in this one big, beautiful world, and we need to take care. All right? So I'm just praising God that those persons will be relieved of the smoke, the fire, and the heat, the natural heat from the atmosphere, and they're going to get some relief. And also that they will be aware also that after the snow, and they say they're going to get some more heat, that they're going to get some flooding. They will get some flooding, so pray that they will take care, you know?
Okay, ma'am.
So let's give God thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. This is down to Brass Tacks. 4341-790 Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am all right, sir. And you?
Good. I'm fine, and I'm glad to have you back. One of the things that I would like to speak about this morning is that I am very, very, very happy that Barbados at least has seen the light in the wisdom of the connection in Africa, in forging the link with Africa. Because this is something that, after our independence, I was arguing time and time again that this should be done. Because when you are coming down from coming out of Africa and coming down towards this region, this little country is the first coming out anywhere up in the east that you be before you get into the Caribbean. And I was more mesmerized in the 1970s when I would have learned, because in my travel I used to pay a lot of attention to the political life that was going on throughout the world. And I was very, very, very shocked to find out that our ancestors or those people who would have put the pressure on us and things like that would have put up some barriers that everything had to come through the European Union before it come down to the Caribbean and so on. Which, in my view, if we had a direct link with Africa where we could open up the trade links and so on, that a number of things that we might have been paying a lot of money for, we would have been able to go a lot cheaper. Because I was shocked that they had a certain corn beef used to come in to this territory until I learned that it used to come from Africa. But it had to go through the European Union thing before it got here, so we was paying more for it. So I would like to compliment, congratulate the Prime Minister and the government on forging those links, because I know from my experience in traveling through Africa and those places that that can make a great link, and not only it, but it can also help us financially and so. And the guy who would have just called a while ago and speak about forging the air link and the hub for Africa to Barbados, I'm saying that he has a valid point, because when you come in, as I said before, this is the first rock that you meet in Caribbean coming from in the east. So I am happy to see that it wouldn't have been done during the 1960s when we became independent, but I am happy that I have lived to see the day when all that I was saying, I was arguing that we should be more closely connected with Africa, has come into fruition. Another thing I like to say is that I observed quite recently that here we are having decisions made, we are having things looked at, like having a number of things which would be referred to and created things from within our constitution and things being looked at. And I realized that in some areas you will find that people becoming critical, but I would like to say this to Barbadians. I could well remember that one of the things that the present administration has promised is to have a complete look at all those antiquated laws and things like this. It takes time to do things. But they must also remember that during the quest to gain a government in this country, that the present administration would be conversing with them in the different communities. And a number of things, changes that I have seen, looked at, and being made, it is not that the members of the administration there sitting in ministries and so on would have gone out and looking and doing these things. They are out of some of the things that they would have said that would have be problematic to them and to the country as a whole. And I would just like Barbadians now to step back and start looking at things as when they are being done, because I can well recall that when we talk about the different things that would have caused problems for us in those anti-trade laws, they were promised that they would be changed. And I have seen some of them being changed, and they weren't changed because of people saying they were changed because of your recommendation to this administration in looking at those things. And at this point in time, I would say compliment, not because I'm a member of the Barbados Labour Party or a supporter, but I am happy to see the road that is traveling, and nothing has made me more than seeing that we will be forging those links with Africa that was long overdue, and it should have been fought for from the time that we were becoming independent. Thank you, Mr.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hi, sir.
How are you today?
I'm good, sir.
Okay. There's a saying that who the cow likes, he licks, and who he hates, he kicks. I'm still waiting for a reconciling of the opening remarks that you made in relation to what you read in terms of the public service announcement and what took place at the what was quoted in the newspaper this morning, because I think there is some variance there that is screaming for some type of clarification. I move on. I don't have any brief for Guyana, but over the years Guyana was seen as was touted as a breadbasket. It was the country that held so much for the Caribbean, CARICOM. And now I am very sad, not sad in the general sense, that what is going on in Guyana seems not to be capturing the attention of CARICOM, which is so ready to jump to the defense of Venezuela and the defense of Cuba, when America seems to want to ride roughshod over those two countries. And although I do not want to downplay the importance of those two countries, I think Guyana, as a member of CARICOM, needs to be looked at by CARICOM with a bit more diligence, because over the years, we've been talking about how many Guyanese come to the different islands and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But in recent days, there's been some developments in Guyana that if we are not wary, and maybe the COVID-19 is going to be some type of savior, which is a sad situation, we are going to be faced with a people who want to get out. And I do not know if you're aware, and I'm sure you're aware because you're in the news, of the reported brutal murder of those two youngsters because they were picking coconuts or something like that. And Guyana, the people are burning tires in the streets. They're confronting the police. And nobody from CARICOM is saying anything. CARICOM was very quick to put out a statement talking about who won the election and what should be fair and that kind of stuff, when their report just said that the results were reasonably credible. And I do not understand how you can endorse results that were reasonably credible, especially when you're dealing with numbers.
So I need to just say something at this point. I've been listening, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I got to say something at this point. I've heard this comment about CARICOM and Guyana on more than one occasion. Here's the problem that I have. Observers were invited into Guyana for the purpose of monitoring the elections. And therefore, the monitors, or those who were invited to monitor the elections, then had a responsibility to comment on the election. The involvement of CARICOM governments in the governance of a CARICOM state is not something that is allowed. And therefore, for CARICOM to intervene or to say something will be called interference in the governance of another state. It has happened with the events in Grenada. It has happened with other CARICOM states. Trinidad and Tobago has gone through a kidnapping spree, murder rates in Jamaica, crime in other countries, even something that affects more than one CARICOM territory. The trade in narcotics between CARICOM states has not had a CARICOM intervention because it's seen as interfering in the affairs of a CARICOM state.
Do you think that that's a tenable situation for a CARICOM?
Didn't say so, but you see, it depends on what CARICOM is based and governed by. If there is nothing that says a CARICOM government can come to the aid or assistance of another CARICOM country or intervene in the affairs unless invited to do so, you can't just get up to do it.
No, but it is not a matter of going in and like really trying to dictate what is happening. But I'm saying that CARICOM has, the same way that the United States or all the other organizations, American states and all of the other different organizations, Africa, the African states and whatnot, they also pay an interest in what is going on in the countries. Okay, they have a...
Because they have an umbrella organization that they sign on to that gives them leeway to do so.
I'm asking if that is a tenable situation then, because it makes a nonsense of having a CARICOM. Because we have a situation in Africa just the other day where some soldiers decided to take out the prime minister or the president. And what happened? They banned that country. You know, they put them out of the association, or at least put sanctions on them. I'm not saying that CARICOM is in a position to put sanctions on anybody, but I'm saying that if you really want to protect the interests of the same CARICOM, the CARICOM secretariat or whichever committee is responsible for overseeing the good governance of the people in the countries in the CARICOM region should be able to say something.
So they are not responsible for that?
That's a nonsense of the issue then. We could well disband CARICOM and everybody go to their own way. Because as it stands, everybody is fighting for their colonel. You see, I don't hold any brief as I said for Guyana. But if we are going to eventually some years down the road, be still relying on the same Guyana. Now, if a government changes now, how are we going to face those people? I've been following the politics in Guyana with the elections, and one part, it seems as if CARICOM is listening to one side of the issue and not the other. That's all I have to say.
Okay, sir.
But then again, we seem to just be playing pansy with cricket. We're playing pansy with everything that we want to use as a medium to go forward. CARICOM should never be on the same side as America in relation to Guyana.
So what makes you think that CARICOM is?
Sorry?
What makes you think that CARICOM is on the side of America?
Because when America endorsed, well, I don't even want to get into the parties and politics, but the America endorsed the Jadwiga government, and CARICOM had, and based against the background of how the elections were run and the discrepancies and whatnot, the CARICOM should be telling America to stay out, because CARICOM endorsed a situation which really was filled with discrepancies.
Sir, I keep trying to make this line and you don't seem to get it. There were international observers and there were CARICOM observers invited into Guyana to monitor the elections, and they gave reports on that.
And don't you think that those international observers had their own interests based on what?
Sir, I'm not getting into the interests. I'm getting into why they said something about it.
We cannot operate on such an emotional, superficial.
It's not an emotional one, sir.
The reality of this is that CARICOM, if we are talking about protecting our own, we have to be able to protect our own in a very clear way and do not align ourselves to to, because United States or the European people, the same people that we are lending ourselves to every year, talks about OECD and that kind of stuff. CARICOM is opening up of the Guyana situation as going to come back to haunt us. Mr. Johnson, have a good day.
You too, sir. You know, having said that, you didn't want to get emotional about it. I hear the emotions coming through, which is why I was trying to pull back. Commonwealth observers went in. They gave a report. You have CARICOM observers going in. They made a report. If their reports align, fine. You say they align. But you seem to say they're echoing it. And CARICOM is supposed to be the Caribbean community. They have a Treaty of Chagaramas. They have revised it. Supposed to govern trade and other matters. There is a governance portion of it. The involvement of CARICOM in the affairs of individual states is something they do not do. See, LIAT, what's going to happen to LIAT? What's going to happen to CARICOM intra-Caribbean travel? That's CARICOM issue. They should be talking about that at a CARICOM level. Right, that's where that should be. The fact that Antigua has gone and instituted a law that makes it impossible, according to the reading of the law by those who read it, that you can't sue LIAT to get back your affairs because of a clause in the law. I haven't heard any CARICOM state going and tell Antigua, that's a wrong law, you shouldn't have passed that, change it, because that's interference in the affairs of a CARICOM state. The principle has to be able to be applied across the board for it to be a fair principle. And speaking about the Grenada intervention, I see that Phyllis Cord has passed from this mortal life. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. G.
Good morning, sir.
I don't know why you could guess what I'm going to talk about, but or almost guess.
Well, I don't know. You might talk about water and surprise me.
No. Listen, I have chores to do today, so I figure I can come in quickly and hit you with a little comic relief if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Because everybody being so serious.
No, you like to be serious.
But you went across my bow, and you might have given me up without even knowing it.
Okay, tell me.
This is a little jest.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. J, there were two friends called Bob and Abba Habba. Abba Habba and Bob were business partners. They had been in business for a while. And Abba Habba had a little swag, you know, so he used to wear his hat backward with the initials on the front, AH. And over the years, Abba Habba and Bob had to put money into the business because the business wasn't doing so well. And they never quarreled about it. They just did it. But they also had to borrow money from the bank because they had to do things that they themselves didn't have the resources, foreign or otherwise, to do. So they committed themselves to borrowing money from the bank. And then one day, the business really got worse and worse and worse. And Abba Habba said to Bob, he said, listen, Bobby, the business isn't doing well. We got the business operating out of your house. And most of the sales coming from the people in my neighborhood. So you're going to be shipping goods down to me all the time. Listen, we could do this a little better. Put the business in my house. And Bobby says, no, we're not doing that. Business staying in my house. So on and on it went. And one day, Abba Habba decided, Bobby, this can't work anymore. So Bob says to Abba Habba, listen, let me take over the business from you. And Abba says, well, okay, fine. Here's the amount of money I would take for the business. And Bobby went, no, I can't afford to pay you that kind of money. So Abba later on went back to Bobby and said, well, listen, Bobby, I can sell you my shares for a dollar. And Bobby said, fine, I would take the shares for a dollar. And then Bobby came back to Abba Habba and said, you know, but Abba, I can take the shares for a dollar, but I want you to write off all the debt that the company owes you. So Abba said, but Bobby, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't mind doing that, but what about the money we owe the bank? You think possibly that we would go to the bank and you and I can decide that you will take over all of the liabilities for the whole company that we owe the bank. Bob said, no, we can't do that, Abba. You got to write off your debt first, and then I can be able to do all the rest of those things. And it's only at that point in time, Mr. J, that Abba realized that Bob thought that the AH on his hat stood for something other than Abba.
Look, my question to you is this, right?
You're going to make me get into trouble now.
I don't know why you want to get into trouble with what is obviously a matter that needs a serious look at.
Serious, yeah.
But the point is, when we have these types of arrangements, you called it a business.
Mm.
Isn't the business governed by laws, bylaws, boards of directors that follow the directives of majority shareholders, minority shareholders? Why, whenever in the Caribbean we have government involvement in private sector business, we end up in this type of situation, sir?
Well, first of all, because it is not government involvement in private sector business.
It's what, government business that private sector get involved in?
No, it's not private sector at all.
Mm-hmm. It's not private sector at all. Okay.
It's a government institution that they want to run like private enterprise, but by the same
and it
token,
fails.
No. But you said the purpose is, although they would like to be profitable, which it won't be.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Said someone who knows about the airline business, right?
It's there for the public good. Sorry.
Said someone who knows about the airline business, right?
Not only that.
I know you know about
it. Knows about the airline business, but somebody who also also understands the public good.
Okay. Now here's my question to you then, right? Getting you off the laughter. I know you're gonna do house chores, and it's good to know that you're doing house chores. But let me ask you this on a serious note, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is the failing of the transport sector? Because air transport, government owned, running as a necessity, has failed. Public transport on the road, run by government as a necessity, also runs up debt, and we can't control it. So Transport Board, LIAT, Trinidad and Tobago changed the airline name a couple times. The ferry between Trinidad and Tobago. What's the problem with transportation? That when it's run by governments as a necessity, you can't seem to balance the, what you call the national good against the economic, the proper economic management. Let me put it that way.
Well, there's one thing that steps in the way most of the time.
Cost.
I think. No, because again, we talk there's different types of costs. There's actually financial costs, there's social costs, there's all the other different types of costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and government can't just simply look at financial costs.
Right.
Right. But what gets in the way, I think, I could be dead wrong on this. It's not that they're not able to do it. It gets back to political shenanigans, right? It is what I want to do, what my constituency thinks I should be doing, and I am doing that. So politics gets in the way. Politics gets in the way of governance, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm. and then we appoint people to boards that have no expertise in the area, but they call the shots. We appoint people to management that sometimes have more expertise than the board, but we shut them down so they can't put their expertise into practice.
Yeah.
And then we can't figure out why we're not making money, sir?
Yeah, well, there's ways to make money. There's no point. To me, it just makes very little sense for Dennis Johnson and myself to be in a company, and Dennis is charging me to come to his house.
So, I get you. I got that part of it. I got that part of it.
It makes little sense.
I got that part of it.
So profitability is not just from the point of view of sales. It's also from the point of view of reducing costs, reducing financial costs, without, to a great extent, reducing social costs.
Now, let me ask you this as the final one, right? So when you get to the stage where, because the entity is based in my country,
mm-hmm.
I am using it as a place to put my people when I can't find nowhere else to put them.
Mm-hmm.
How does the other shareholders respond to that?
But as they do now.
Mm. Okay.
As they do now. That makes absolutely no sense from an economic or a financial point of view. If when you do that, most of the business doesn't come from in your house. It makes no sense to do that. You are just playing politics now. So again, the politics gets in your way.
Sir, I find it unfortunate, and I wish I knew how to get in contact with the people who run the ferry between Dominica and Martinique, the French people, to find out if it's profitable, how they get it to work, and see if we could learn some lessons from them, even though they're French West Indies and we were British West Indies, and apparently we're not supposed to talk to each other, although Dominica said they would prefer to be a dependency of France than a part of CARICOM. But I won't say who said that to me. So we make in sport. That's all I can tell you. We make in sport with serious business. But what can we do? Sir, I thank you. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Hello, can you hear me?
Clearly, sir.
Yeah, okay. I would like to talk about mail in and out of Barbados.
Yeah, sir, you have raised this before. I've asked the someone with an accent, an English accent, has raised this before.
Mr. Johnson, I have never talked to you about this.
Okay, sir.
This is a new situation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a returnee from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, in fact, has been expecting mail from Barclays Bank now since April, and she's not received anything at all. She spoke to them back in July, and they sent the correspondence around the 27th of July, and still she hasn't received anything. Now, when I looked up Royal Mail in London update, it says that mail resumption to Barbados started on the 27th of May. We also know that British Airways and Virgin Atlantic are now flying into Barbados on a regular basis. So somewhere within the system, there must be a lot of mail that's held up somewhere. I spoke to the post office in Bridgetown, and they're not even sure if mail is coming in by those two airlines. But what they told me was that there's a lot of mail that should have gone out of Barbados are still sitting in Bridgetown, because nobody from the government have given them any information regarding mail in and out of Barbados.
What I was about to say, sir, when I thought you were the person who had called before about mail in and out of London, because there was someone who had called before. I have tried to find out, but apparently you've done the same thing, and you've received the information they've just shared. There seems to be some lack of information, let me put it that way, on what is the situation with mail,
right?
International mail, whether it's not coming in, whether it's coming in and being left somewhere,
yeah,
or whether it's not going out, that it's stored somewhere.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to receive what I consider to be credible information that I can share with the public on the issue concerning international mail into and out of Barbados. I have left messages, and hopefully before someone else runs into that problem, we will have some information. My question to the previous caller, my question to you is this. The nature of this mail that is of concern, is there any other way for the information to be transferred to the person or to Barbados? In some cases that I've spoken to the persons off air, it seems to be a matter of their life certificates being sent to be signed and sent back for banking purposes, and mail.